and Footprint Show, where we talk about government, music, art, health, science, ufology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth. And when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evidence Footprint, Don Nikoloff. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com. I'm your host, Don Nikoloff, and I'll be with you for the next hour on this January the 21st on the West Coast, now January the 22nd on the East Coast and in the Central Time Zone. Of course, we'd like to welcome all those listening on Wind Talkers Radio Network around the world, as well as on BlogTalkRadio.com. Lots of news going on today. I guess what's really important is the fact that they are encouraging people to send toys and cereal boxes and all kinds of food to Haiti. Of course, they need food, those that have survived the event, which is being called an earthquake, although it appears that it's something else. Certainly caused a lot of damage. That's for certain, and certainly caused a lot of loss of life. Moments after that appeal, then we now hear again more news about Tiger Woods. So we know where the mainstream media's priorities are, and I may...
All right, this is Seth, the BBS Radio. Stay tuned. We had a little bit of a technical difficulty here. We're just working through that. We'll get Don and Ken right back to you.
And in the past, it's been accusations of being a spammer, and I would patiently explain to them, I haven't spammed anyone. Who is it that's accusing me of spamming? And they always tell me, I'm sorry, we cannot reveal that information to you. Apparently, it's okay to accuse people anonymously, such as myself, but when you ask for who is this making the claim, what is the claim, no. They have such a concern for the privacy of an accuser, but for the person who's paying them, lunarpages.com, a yearly fee to host my website, no. I'm not entitled to that information. I just have to work on the fact that somebody, somewhere, for some reason, accuses me of being a spammer, and I'm now left with the option of defending myself against a completely unknown accuser. So I've answered those emails to lunarpages.com on each occasion, and I find that after I respond to their claims of spamming, that they don't respond. They simply shut up for another year or so, and then they accuse me once again of spamming. Now, in the last 2 weeks of December, I received an email from these wonderful folks at lunarpages.com that wanted me to know that I was in violation of some copyright rule, because I had posted a online book that I didn't have the authority to post, etc. And I told them once again, well, I called them. I said, who's making this accusation? I'm sorry, Mr. Adachi, we cannot reveal that to you. It's so important for the accusers to remain completely anonymous with lunarpages.com that they can't tell the person who pays the fee for their wonderful service.
Their customer.
Accusing you.
Yeah.
So I was forced to send an email to Jason in the, quote, legal department. And I told Jason, well, it'd be wonderful if you told me who it is that's accusing me of doing whatever you're claiming I'm doing, because so far you haven't told me anything. And they referred to a link on my mind control page of a book, of an online book written by Fritz Springmeier and Cisco Wheeler, called The Illuminati Formula for Mind Control Victims. And once I knew what the nature of the charge was, which Lunar Pages is very reluctant to even tell their paying customers about, I told them I obtained permission from the co-author of the book, Cisco Wheeler, in the year 2004, which was 5 years ago, that that I could have permission to post her book online. We had a long conversation, which I recorded over the telephone, and I told them, so it would be really nice if you folks would tell me who's making the accusation, et cetera, et cetera. So I got a reply email in which they indicated that Patricia Springmeier, the wife of Fritz Springmeier, apparently her or her agent was behind the complaint. So I wrote back and I said...
And you're on speaking terms with her, right?
Well, I've never actually talked to her, but I certainly admire Fritz.
Mm-hmm.
And I know who she is. I've tried to contact her in earlier years. She's not that easy to contact. But I talked to Cisco Wheeler on more than one occasion, who did have easy access to Patricia. So I had planned at some time to just talk to her more about an update on Fritz's case. And, of course, he's serving a long prison term for a trumped-up crime. He was essentially railroaded into prison by the feds, who used a couple of flunkies for witnesses against him, who they had set up to be witnesses against him. Anyway, long story short, he got an 11-year prison sentence for, quote, bank robbery. Now, if you know anything about Fritz Springmeier, the last thing you can possibly imagine to be is a bank robber, but that's what he got convicted of, because when the government wants to get somebody out of the way, they simply railroad him. This is what happened to Dr. Jeffrey McDonald.
He actually found a bank that had money in it?
Well, apparently, at the time, they accused him of being, the getaway driver in a bank robbery.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, this is absolutely true. Anyway, so I got this email back from lunarpages.com that indicated that Patricia, and I had no quarrel with Patricia. First, I do have Cisco's permission to post the book online. That's why it's there. But if it upsets Patricia for whatever reason, I'll happily take it down just to, you know, just to satisfy her. It's, I'm not making any profit as a result of putting the book online. I only do it so the public can read a very important book revealing how the Illuminati does mind control people. And I mean, most of the data is, 99% of the data is the testimony of Cisco Wheeler. And she's the one who gave me the permission to post it. So I didn't do anything wrong. So, and anyway, long story short, I find out today in a conversation on the telephone, somebody I was talking to said, hey, you know, your website is down. I says, really? And then you called me an hour or two later and told me the same thing. So the website will be back up in a day or two after we have a long talk with lunarpages.com, a wonderful website server.
Yeah.
People really, really ought to think about enlisting as your server if you want to have a website and hosting people, because it'll be real easy for anyone who wishes to take your website down to merely contact them and say, hey, this guy sent me a spam email. And based on that accusation, Lunar Pages will threaten you with shutting you down because they got an email saying you're a spammer, and of course they won't tell you who it is, and they won't tell you the nature of the spam. They won't tell you anything. They'll just tell you, you better shape up, buddy, because we have zero tolerance for spammers, and get on the stick right away. So if you're anxious to have a web host server who will serve you, the paying customer, with that level of consideration and care, by all means, sign on with lunarpages.com. They are the people to turn to when you need to be needlessly harassed by your web hosting server.
Yeah. Now, I gave out one link, which actually is good. I'm going to give that out again to folks.
Okay.
So get your pens and papers here, folks. wordsforgood.org/mirrors, plural, /educate smear-yourself.org. Now, on your site, I'm on your site, so your site is not down through the smear site. You have it posted as mirrors.wordsforgood.org/educate-yourself.org. So it works whether you put the word mirrors in between the two domain names or in the front is what it is. I'm not trying to make this sound complicated. It really isn't. So
the words mirrors could be in front of Words for
yes.
Good or after Words for Good. It'll work in either.
Yes, either in front with a dot after it or a period. mirrors.wordsforgood.org/educate-yourself.org. That's the alternative. So there you are.
Yeah.
So
anyway, I probably spent too much time explaining this, but it's annoying. The reason I changed to Lunar Pages from the previous server I had is that this guy was a total lapdog for the intelligence agencies, whether, I don't know who was contacting him, of course, I don't know, whether it's military intelligence, CIA, NSA, whoever, this guy, who I also prepaid a year in advance, you know, I don't go on the monthly pay routine, I pay for a year in advance, and then when it's due for renewal, I typically pay the renewal 2 or 3 months before it's due, so it's never a matter of owing these people money. I don't want to be in that situation. But this previous guy who I had in the server, a host server in LA, whenever the Intel people told him to take down my website, he did. He would just put up a sign there, website is, I don't know, whatever, I can't remember what he said. This is, temporarily suspended or non-functional or some yada-da-da-do, and I would call him, he wouldn't answer the phone. He wouldn't answer my message. I emailed. He wouldn't respond. It'd take 2 or 3 days, and then I would threaten to sue him seven ways to Sunday, and voila, my website is back up. And he would, you know, another month or two go down, and he'd go by, and he simply would repeat the same process again.
Mm-hmm.
He never would talk to me. He never would explain. It was so patently obvious what he was doing. You know, some intel would call him up and say, take him down, you know, whatever they annoyed him, and this lapdog did it. So I just, I just started hunting around on the internet to find another server, and I found Lunar Pages, which generally, I mean, I'm paying a lot more money than I did the previous guy, but generally the bandwidth and all that works, and that at least they didn't just willy-nilly take down my pages with the frequency this clown in Los Angeles did, but now they, you know, I have no idea why they took this website down.
Now, this is interesting. I just entered educate-yourself.org into a URL address space, and what comes up is eon.lunarpages.com /... suspended.page. And then the message says, visitors, we are sorry. However, this site is experiencing difficulties at this time. Please return later. Well, obviously, it's Lunar Pages that's experiencing the difficulties because your mirror site works fine. So
I don't know. Again, I don't know any information. I tried to call them on the phone, but I called them around 7:30 p.m. Pacific time. Their phone recording said that they stopped taking calls at 5 p.m. So much for 24/7 support service with lunarpages.com. The best you can do is 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific time if you're hoping to get their support on, you know, via phone. So I will send them an email. I just found this out shortly before the show, so I didn't even have time to compose an email to them, which I'll send them, I'll call them tomorrow, and we'll have a little discussion like we've had in the past when they've accused me of spamming, and we'll take whatever steps are necessary we'll get back online, and then I think we're going to start hunting around for another server.
Yeah.
Perhaps someone who's not quite so willing to throw their customers under the bus.
Or give you the excellent service you're getting.
Yeah, right, exactly. So if you're looking forward to, you know, a lot of drama, a lot of unfounded, unsubstantiated accusations of being a spammer or this or that, you go right ahead and join up with LunarPages.com. Anaheim, California, what a wonderful outfit. I'm going to have to find out who is the owner of that outfit and send them a personal letter of gratitude for the excellence of the service that I've received to them to date.
Yeah, I can sense there's a flurry of exposés on the way, too.
Okay, so we will end that aspect. Perhaps I'll just take a couple minutes to review a couple thoughts on my mind since we've last talked. The last time we had a radio show, I think it was January 9th, this was just within a day or so. Remind me, the earthquake hit, was it December 7th or December 8th? Perhaps December 8th in Haiti.
Not December, no.
January.
January 12th, I think it was. The day after the Chinese executed their lien on the Federal Reserve and the U.S. Treasury, their $47 trillion lien. We had an event that occurred like that on September 10th.
Okay, yeah, excuse me. I was going back to the December. We happened to do a December show on the 9th, December 9th. You're right. The last time we talked, it must have been January 13. There you go. And the earthquake hit Haiti, or the so-called earthquake, hit Haiti on the 12th. Okay, that makes sense. I received an email within 24 hours from someone who at the time I didn't know whether I should reveal or not, but it turns out it was my very good friend Z.S. Livingstone, and I mentioned at the time that he picked up it was an artificial triggered event. He picked up that it was triggered by nukes. In the interim, you've done a number of radio shows, you've talked to other folks, and you've picked up information that HARP-type technology was involved in the event, and particularly for these aftershocks. I have the feeling that the aftershocks might be related to electronic type of manipulation such as HARP. I didn't tell you this on the phone earlier, but I had a phone call from a man a couple of days ago, a good friend of mine. He's a very insightful guy. He's finding himself, let's say, to be more and more in tune, let's say, with the universal mind.
Mm-hmm.
Let's put it that way. He's getting sharper and sharper. This fellow, I won't reveal his name at this moment, but he's been in touch with me for many years, and he's getting sharper. And we talked about Haiti, and he said that he picked up from, again, a non-physical source that they used a newer type of alien technology to pull off the earthquake event, but that because they had misappropriated this technology and used it in such a destructive manner that other forces stepped in to prevent them from using this technology again. So his message to me was that they cut their own nose off to, you know, to spite their face, they had access to this technology, but because they used it in such a wantonly destructive, murderous way that other forces stepped in and prevented that technology from being applied again in the future. Now, Haiti, of course, was a artificially triggered event, as was the Sichuan, China earthquake. Remind me of the year, Don, 2007? Or was it 2008? I can't remember. The one in China, in which the real goal was to destroy Chinese underground bases that were located in that area, Sichuan, China. If we go back, let's just momentarily, look at the history of artificial earthquake triggering. One of the biggest ones was triggered by the Russians in the late 1960s. I think it was 1968, that number's in my mind. The Russians had perfected and developed Nikola Tesla-based earthquake technology before the United States had access to this technology. Russia developed it, and I think the first time they applied it, and again, I could be wrong, but somehow 1968 is in my mind. There was a huge, tremendous, devastating earthquake in China. About 250,000 people died. 250,000, 300,000 people died. Again, I'm guessing 72, 73. That was Russian-triggered Tesla technology. That was not a natural event. And that was a big one. As you may know, during that period, late 60s, early 70s, there was an enormous amount of political tension between Russia and China over border disputes between Soviet territory and, I'm forgetting the border area, but Upper Mongolia. And there was a lot of tension there. And the Russians had this technology, and they sent a clear message to the Chinese government that mess with us and this is what happens. There's probably been a number of earthquakes that were not natural. On other shows, we talked about the 1994, January 17th, 94, earthquake in Southern California.
That was the Northridge quake.
Northridge earthquake,
yeah.
Was triggered by the Japanese faction of the Illuminati using, I'm guessing, Tesla-based technology. At the time, there was quite a skirmish, let's say a bad blood, between George H.W. Bush, who, you know, if you remember, was president during the late 80s, early 90s, and Chinese officials, and Japanese. And George Bush had made a state visit to Japan. He was literally poisoned at a state dinner party. He threw up. It was quite an event.
Mm-hmm.
And they simply reported in the news as this oddity of G.H.W. Bush throwing up on the prime minister. Well, he threw up because he was poisoned, and the Bush people do not take kindly to that type of thing. And so a great deal of hard feelings had been brewing. George H.W. Bush is not the nicest guy in the face of the earth in terms of the way he treats other people of his illuminated group. Anyway, the Japanese sent a message to the Illuminati, which in America is the Illuminati headquarters, if you will, is Orange County, Southern California. This is the main area where the Illuminati Council is. Now, of course, they're in every state of the Union, but the main governing body of the Illuminati in America is in Orange County. So they sent the Northridge earthquake. They triggered it artificially. And 1 year later to the date, January 17th, 1995, George's Bush's faction of the Illuminati, probably working through the Navy with a device in the harbor of Kobe, Japan, triggered a earthquake that devastated Kobe on January 17, 1995, exactly 1 year later to the date of the Northridge earthquake. These are artificially triggered events. The Boxer Day tsunami that killed so many people in Indonesia, etc., occurred, remind me, December 26, 2004. Do I have the correct date? The Boxer Day?
Familiar, yeah.
Okay. Joe Viles, before he passed away or was arranged to pass away, did a tremendous expose on the fact that that was triggered by nuclear devices placed in the Pacific Ocean.
Now, if I can interrupt for a second, I recall the 1987 Whittier Narrows quake, that's the one I just had mentioned, hit 7:42 in the morning. I had just awakened a minute or two prior to that, and I remembered standing in front of a couch that was not up against the wall, within in the middle, almost in the middle of the living room. And as I was standing up, there was a very strong shock, let's say, physical shock, that actually threw me over the couch standing up, and I landed on the other side. Literally lifted me up in the air and threw me over. I wasn't moving at the time. I was standing still. And I knew there was an earthquake, and I had told my dog, who was absolutely brilliant, earthquake, and we crawled under this tobacco barn table that I had, dining room table, huge table, and things started flying all over the place. The day before, I had received a rather large shipment of electronic components, and I had sorted them out into a utility cabinet that has these separate drawers, and they're all labeled per their value. And the leads were straight, so that if I went to get one, and I wasn't pulling out the whole ball of them, because when they ship them, they're kind of wound or interspersed together, and some of the leads stick to each other, basically. Sure. It's a pain in the neck. So I took them out of the packages and sorted them out per their value and just grabbed the ends of the leads, and you just pull them a little bit, and it straightens them out, throw them in the drawer. Right. It's tedious work, but when you're doing troubleshooting or actually repairing a musical instrument or some circuit boards, it makes it easier to find them. You save time later on. After the quake had hit, I went through my whole house surveying the damage. And in the room where I had this cabinet, all the drawers had flown out of the cabinet from what I perceived was a shock wave that bounced off the mountain range of the San Gabriel Mountains and came back and lifted up that corner of the house. There was one corner of the house that actually was lifted up into the air and slammed down. Of course, dishes are breaking, cabinets are flying open, and things are just all over the place. And the leads of these resistors and capacitors and all these electronic components were twisted in a ball in the middle of the room. It's a freaky thing. You would think with the drawers emptying out that they would just end up all over the place.
Scattered.
All together in a ball. And I sensed that was an unnatural event, and they were saying that was something like 10 miles beneath the surface. Actually, right now, they're on Wikipedia, they say it was a depth of 9.5 kilometers. So that, roughly we'll say 10 miles. The first quake was 6.5, and then they had a series of aftershocks almost immediately, within a few minutes, 6.3, 6.1. This was going on for weeks and even months. They were having more aftershocks. Now, it's unusual in Haiti to have an aftershock 8 days later.
Yeah.
That's the first one that we heard of. And they're even downplaying the magnitude of the original quake. Certainly, those of us that were there knew what was happening. it wasn't that far from the seismic center at in Pasadena. And they have these people on the line constantly. Now, Ken, we have a caller, and I'm getting messages from people, and I need to do a quick public service announcement to those whose signal may have been interrupted momentarily. The network was knocked off the air, but we're still recording. We were not knocked off, so. So if you lost the signal, you notice we came back pretty quickly. I don't know what happened, but we've got Drew Malone Raines, the third, on the line. So, Drew, welcome to Evident Footprints.
Yes. Thank you very much. Ken brought out a very, very good assessment there earlier about the signs in the sky there in China. I went and looked in my own archives, and I got an IM from the girlfriend of a former United States Marine on May the 14th, 2008, where she used a DVD camera that was her present from him before they got married. She shot some very colorful rainbow-type cloud clusters, and they were posted on the Internet. I checked with some Marines that are down in Haiti, especially one that was on board the Royal Caribbean cruise ship on a vacation, and he witnessed some very strange colorful rainbow sky distortions about 30 minutes to an hour. He doesn't know exactly when, but in the sky located over the area at the in the distance that appeared, you know, toward Port-au-Prince. And I wanted to ask Ken if has anybody given him any pictures of any of the color of the light display over at Port-au-Prince since he has such a big audience out there.
Well, I haven't gotten any of the colored clouds floating. Actually, I haven't even looked at email for 3 days or so, Drew, because I've been trying to catch up on orders. But I will say this. I am familiar with the rainbow-colored clouds. I've been talking about them on my website and posting pictures for a number of years. Actually, I first started to notice the rainbow type coloring perhaps in 2002 or 2003, and since then I am aware of the for instance 30 minutes of 30 to 45 minutes prior to the earthquake in Sichuan, China. It's on YouTube. There's a number of these what look like rainbow clouds, rainbow effect of clouds. There's no other way to describe them. That you can see all the colors of the rainbow along the peripheral edge of what looks like normal cumulus clouds. So, yeah, I've seen it a number of times. Now, I have my own theory. A, they do tend to show up in those periods just prior to a major earthquake such as this. I've seen some websites that have assumed that it was an effect of physics due to HARP activity, scalar activity triggering the earthquakes, and therefore you see this strange phenomena in the clouds. That might be true. I frankly don't know, but I'll give you another thought, though, that I've heard from various people, which sounds equally possible to me, is that we've seen these rainbow clouds in chemtrail situations for many years. They show up often with chemtrail spraying, and we see them right by recognizable sylphs. Sylphs are these etheric images that appear to the untrained eye to be a cloud, but actually are sort of a manifestation of typically in animal form. It might be anything from a flying dragon to a whale or a dolphin or horse or a man. There could be many. It has occurred to me that the rainbow clouds could be sylphs, which are elemental beings who are attempting to mitigate, ameliorate, or otherwise lessen the impact of a, let's say, negative agenda. There's no doubt in my mind that a number of these, particularly the devastating quakes, are being artificially triggered. And it's occurred to me that these rainbow clouds are an attempt by the sylphs to mitigate the scalar waveforms that are being applied through the HARP system to trigger the fault to react to mitigate the effect. I could be totally wrong on that, but I have the suspicion that there's more of a positive intention behind the rainbow clouds than it's just a byproduct of physics. But I'll entertain your response to that.
Well, the pictures I got from Mayumi from Sinchon, they didn't look like rainbows. They looked like an X or maybe even a question mark or a circle. And obviously the colors, to really explain it in a different way, it would be like somebody doing skywriting, and the images, like one was an X, one looked like an X and another one looked like a Z, and one looked like a question mark. But the colors of the rainbow were within these more or less skywritten letters. And
yes.
I was just wondering if you had gotten any pictures from the earthquake in Haiti, because there's such a vast amount of people there that have photo cell phones, as well as a large contingency of American students that were down there. And other American workers that work down there consistently, and they all use cell phones because landline phones are extremely hard to find. So that's why I was asking if, you know, maybe before the earthquake happened, one of the students might have gotten something out, and you'd heard of it, because I haven't heard anything except from Adrian, and the pictures that he shot are on a VCR camera that's an old-fashioned VHS-type VCR camera. And he said when he got back to the States, he would send me a copy of it. Now, I don't know when he's coming back to the States. I know he's on vacation. He's retired, so I may not get him for another 2 weeks. But that was why I was calling in, because I'd like to hear some more documented information about it.
Drew, you brought up an interesting point when you mentioned the question mark in the sky. And in fact, Ken, you recall this past fall when I called you, I witnessed a question mark in the sky, which preceded a major storm that came through the area, but it didn't do damage here. It resulted in a couple of tornadoes, and then the storm was threatening the city of Cleveland. And I was basically tracking it as I was driving, and I made a prediction that when I get to a certain turnoff, we're going to be right under the major cloud that is sort of the marker of this storm, that this was the center point of it, and I was going to mitigate it, and it wasn't going to rain, even though it was predicted that we might get as much as 2 inches of rain. It didn't rain at all. This was kind of interesting to see, because this storm came after the question mark had been seen, and I really didn't have time to go back out and photograph it before it had moved. But I certainly got a good look at it, and there were 12 parallel lines scrawled across the sky from chemtrail planes that just went from the horizon to the other. And then after that came the question mark, and then the storm followed through. It moved through the area very rapidly, and an area to the south, southeast of where I'm located was struck by a tornado. Very, very interesting, though. These things are not natural. These clouds.
I want to do a follow-up question, and I'll say goodbye unless you guys do your show. Ken, do you feel that we possibly be in the middle of weather wars being fought between the powers of government on this planet, such as Russia, the United States, and China, and possibly two or three others?
Okay, what I'll say is this. That's a very good choice of words. As you probably know, Colonel Tom Bearden came out with a number of books and talks in the late 80s and early 90s in which he used those very words, weather wars. And at that time, Tom, overall, I approve of Tom Bearden. He's ex-Air Force, and as a result, his exposition tends to be forgiving of the U.S. military and tends more to point the finger towards what used to be the Soviet Union. I think he does that in the interest of self-preservation. However, though, the Russians developed this scalar technology before the U.S. did, and they certainly used it. As I mentioned, they applied it to earthquakes that they first triggered it in 68. And the big one in somewhere in central Mongolia, China, was in the highlands area in 72 or 73, killed about 250,000 people. It was one of the largest earthquakes in modern history that killed such a large number. The Russians triggered that. There is, let's say, a tit for tat. They all have the technology. China, Japan, Russia, the United States, probably Germany, England. They all have the technology to trigger weather phenomena. This could be tornadoes. This could be earthquakes. Certainly, the hurricanes. Who doesn't know that Katrina was artificially jacked up and steered straight into New Orleans? Who in the world doesn't know that now? I mean, it was so obvious. If you just looked at the maps at the time they were doing it, which was, early fall of 2005, August, September, somewhere there. And the ones that followed, Rita, there was like five major hurricanes that were all jacked up. They're using HAARP technology. And, so if people listening to this show don't know that the governments of the world can and do create major weather phenomena, so-called natural disasters, then you're really behind the eight ball. You just don't know what's really going on this earth. Most of these major catastrophic events are being artificially triggered. I didn't mention it earlier, but I'll mention it now. From a source that I can't name, but very reliable, for the past few months, the mostly U.S. government has been triggering, using nukes below the Arctic and in the Pacific Ocean to accomplish various things. They've been using nukes in the Arctic in order to open up oil access deposits, let's say. They've been involved in using nukes in the Pacific for other things that are a little bit darker in of agenda. Some of these activities have been curtailed because there are other forces at work besides the dark forces, who are doing these things. And of course, you never hear a word about this in the media. We wouldn't know about it unless if it wasn't for the information that we glean from people who has the ability to tune into these events. But these events in the Pacific Ocean, particularly using these, devices that are set, to go off underneath the Pacific Ocean bed. Certainly the Samoa quake was, I'm guessing, 3 months ago, 4 months ago, et cetera, not a natural event, triggered by one of these nuclear devices. A number of these nuclear attempts have been thwarted. That's why we've only heard about Samoa, for instance, okay? There would have been many more if let's say, the events hadn't been neutralized. So there's a lot of stuff going on. It's unbelievable. It's like a movie. It's so off the wall. And I'm sorry to say that much of this activity is being done by elements on our side of the fence that are not working in the interests of the people or the Republic or the Constitution. They're working for another master who usually goes by the acronym of four letters behind to indicate his name. And I'll give you the first letter, G. So, if I can just wrap up the last few minutes of the show, Don, I'd just like to say that I believe the Haiti quake is another trial run in preparation for what undoubtedly is going to be planned. Whether they do it or not is another matter, but they want to create a major disruptive earthquake scenario along the west coast of the United States.
Mm-hmm.
That thought, let's say, has been in the wind for a number of years, and we have our propaganda outlets like NPR Radio being one of the main ones. When there is the Sichuan quake in China, our media here typically talks about, oh, the big one is coming to California. They want to prep us for this, and if and when they do it, they will use the same sort of technology that they use to trigger the earthquake in Haiti. Now, why do they want to do this? Well, the overall agenda is to destroy the United States. We have to put this at the top of the list. That's the point of building up the financial, the economic, the military might of China, because the Illuminati had at one time wanted to, let's say, create the United States. The founding of the United States had much more to do with the Illuminati's intention than it did with the colonists. They were just a convenient means to achieve a larger end. But they sort of wanted to have this growth nation, the United States, flourish. So they helped that along. Now their next goal is to destroy the United States and the people of the United States, because we are the largest impediment to the imposition of one world government, of the new world order. Americans are too independent minded. We have too many guns. We have this notion that we're free and we're prepared to, to defend that desire with our lives. And that doesn't sit well with the Illuminati. They much prefer the passivity of the Asian nations and the passivity of the European nations, who will go along with their agenda, as we can see with the growth of the European Common Union, et cetera. But the United States, those pesky North Americans, they really are a pain. The Canadians are sort of a quiet type, but doggone it, those Americans, they just have this notion of freedom and independence and all that. We can't have that. So they want to destroy the United States and elevate China to be the number one country of the world. That's why they've made it so easy, and they've accommodated China thanks to wonderful traders like Bill Clinton, who made all kinds of computer technology and missile technology available to the Chinese. I hear on daily on ABC Radio here in Southern California, there's an economic talk show host by the name of Charles Payne, probably of the family of Payne Weber, I'm just guessing. And he's advising his listeners to just China, man, that's the place where to invest your money because, man, China's such a growth place. Now, why an American would be urging people of America to invest in the growth of China is beyond me, but that's exactly what he's doing. So we need to know that there is this preparation to cause this major earthquake, which will lead to a depression of sort, an economic depression throughout the country once the fallout of, let's say, a devastating earthquake in California is recognized by the country. It will lead to a depression. That's the whole point.
Yeah.
What's so touted as a natural earthquake that we've been expecting, you know, because the news keep on telling us, NPR keeps on telling us year in, year out that the big one is coming. So we're prepared for it, and when it happens, well, they've warned us all along. What they don't warn you about, it's all being artificially created to destroy the United States. We need to think that this desire, this intention to cause an artificial, devastating series of earthquakes in California are not going to happen. Because we, with our mind, being creators, each and every one of us, we can change reality with the power of our thoughts.
Yes.
And that's where I'm going to end.
Yeah, that's exactly why I mentioned this weather anomaly, which happened to coincide with Drew Raine's call and his remark about this question mark he had seen in the sky.
Yeah.
That was not the first time one of those had been seen. And through intention, you can mitigate these things.
Right.
Now, I'm reminded of a couple of things here. There were no fissures seen in Haiti anywhere. In fact, the roads were left untouched.
Yes.
Just buildings collapsed, primarily in Port-au-Prince. And then the Whittier quake of 1987, that was on October 1st of 1987, there were no fissures seen in the ground. The Loma Prieta earthquake caused a lot of structural damage. We saw that live during third game of the World Series, which happened to have been between San Francisco and Oakland. Isn't that interesting that,
yes,
that an earthquake would hit that area during that event? Yes. To my knowledge, there wasn't anything indicating that there was structural damage to the roads as far as splitting. Now, there were landslides. We saw bridges. There was the collapse of the Nimitz Freeway, a mile stretch of the upper deck of the freeway, which either killed or trapped some people who were passing through at that time. And we really don't take enough time to pay attention to these things, but you could almost see the general area of where they were struck, because the primary damage was the route between the two cities over the bridge and the freeway leading to that. That's a point where there's a turnoff that takes you to the other side of the San Francisco Bay. Very interesting. And there we had George H.W. Bush in both events as a president of the United States.
Yeah.
Very interesting. And there was some $3.45 billion signed by him to give to the state of California. I certainly wonder where that money went. I can tell you that people themselves regrouped and fixed things. You know, if anyone wants to question whether this is conspiratorial or not, the events seem to mirror each other. They're very, very similar. And, of course, there wasn't the loss of life that we have in Haiti, but that's due largely to substandard construction practices, for one thing.
Yes.
And probably a more advanced technology. This could happen anywhere. And we need to pay attention to this instead of imagining that this is fiction or that we're off our rockers here. These technologies have been around for 100 years and have been fine-tuned and intermixed with other technologies.
Yes.
So, and by the way, the Whittier quake, I remember seeing very strange colors in the sky on that day, too, even after the event, because we did have aftershocks. And a lot of people now will look at those events, I think, with the rose-colored glasses taken off and consider that this has been done a number of times. The thing is, who did it?
Yeah.
Who is behind it?
It's I'm somewhat amazed of in the last month or two or three, probably people sent it links to me, but I come across articles in which there is much more admission by the government of all people. I forget if it was the Air Force or whatever, as to how much they let out of the bag in terms of their admission that they have capabilities to control the weather. As I mentioned in responding to Drew, Tom Bearden wrote a number of books about this in the late 80s and early 90s. One of them was called Fur de Lance, if I recall correctly. And, man, he goes into tremendous detail of the Russians' development of this this technology. And we've been seeing – he started to talk about this. I heard radio shows. It used to be a great – radio show in Southern California here in the late 80s called The Open Mind with Bill, I can't remember his last name, Bill somebody. He was a fine host, but he brought on great guests such as Tom Bearden. And I heard a tape, I think it was around 1986, a radio recording, 86 or 87, which Tom was very carefully explaining then how they can apply these scalar waves to the atmosphere, and they reveal themselves, cloud formations, you know, the so-called, we call them scalars, probably harp clouds is the most common word used on the internet, but you'll see a sort of what almost looks like tire track banding of what would normally be a continuous cloud bank, but it'll sort of be segmented into what looks like tire track bands. That doesn't happen in nature. It's never happened in nature.
Yeah.
It's all caused by this scalar wave technology applied to the via HARP, applied to the atmosphere that causes unusual electromagnetic configurations. You got to remember, real clouds at least have a component of moisture there. And orgone energy, and they're responding to these high frequency HARP energies in such a way that they align in certain, let's say, polarity configurations, and very often it shows up as banding of clouds. It almost looks like strips of clouds, perfectly parallel, the gap between them perfectly parallel. It'll just go from one end of the horizon to the next.
Yeah.
These are not natural clouds. You will see no such thing in atlases, cloud atlases, for instance, that the government produces, at least prior to, let's say, 1997 or so.
Yeah. Well, Ken, we're out of time. I hate to cut you off, but
no, that's fine.
We will probably end up discussing this on a future show. So I want to thank you very much. You did a great job explaining all of this. And I'm sure there are people that are going to look at some of these other events and look for some parallel facts, let's say, that sort of support what we're talking about here.
Yeah.
What they put out in the media for our consumption is certainly a lot different from what the facts are pointing to.
Right.
So we want to stress that we're not asking you to believe this. Certainly we've done research and we'll continue to do research and report our findings as we find them. So the The educate-yourself.org website will be back up again, but the Mirror site is available. So I want to thank you, and now you know at least you can go to your own site.
Thanks, Dan.
Okay, folks, you've been listening to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com and tonight's special guest, Ken Adachi. Special thanks to Windtalkers Radio Network and BlogTalkRadio.com for broadcasting the show around the world, as well as on BBSRadio.com. Also, I'd like to send out special thanks to Don and Doug Newsom for making Evident Footprints possible. Seth Hendrick on the sound. Our caller, Drew Malone Rains III, thanks for calling in and adding to the conversation. And to all you in the listening audience for tuning in, I wish everyone a night filled with peace, love, and light, and have a good night.